Father, we come to you this morning. We ask that you would speak to us, that you would reveal yourself to us. Lord, in the time that I've spent seeking you to share what's on your heart for this congregation today, you know my weaknesses, and I pray that you would be strong in them. God, I pray that the words of my mouth would glorify you, would honor you. But Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you would reveal to us who you really are and what you desire for us. God, may we know that. May we experience that today. May our hearts be ignited to burn with love for you in a grand new way. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a real privilege and a joy to share with you this morning. I've always wondered what you look like from this vantage point. But I want you to know that you're a beautiful people. I'm humbled to be able to share my life with you all, and I mean that. I love you, and I pray for you regularly. John lets us in on a secret that Jesus told only to his closest friends the night before he died. As Matt just read, John talks profoundly about the relationship that Jesus shares with his Father and that his Father shares with him. In two sentences, that's 31 words, Jesus uses the word glory five times. Him glorifying the Father and the Father glorifying him. The theme in Jesus' life was hearing, obeying, and fulfilling God the Father's plan and purpose. Not his will, but God's will being done. He is passionate and resolute about this and won't let anything or anyone get in the way. Even the Father gives public affirmation to him. Several times he speaks audibly, "I'm well pleased. This is my Son. Listen to him." Even once coming so close to earth that Jesus is transfigured. So this is no casual relationship. It's intense. It's deep. It's passionate and powerful. What allows this kind of intimacy? Verse 34 gives us a clue. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. What does Jesus mean? Why is he telling his disciples, you and me, this new commandment to love one another as he loved us? He's giving us a key to the kingdom of God. Why is love a key to the kingdom of God? Well, to me, there's a paradox in Jesus, in his life and his words that I found fascinating, challenging, confusing, binding, and liberating. Here are some of the great examples. If you lose your life, you'll keep it. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Love your enemies. Do good to those that persecute you. The greatest among you is the servant of all. In our world, this is crazy talk, and you know it, and so do I. It simply doesn't make sense. Isn't Jesus aware of how things are done down here? I mean, we think just the opposite of this, don't we? You must fight to keep your life. If you don't do it, you can be sure nobody else will, and only a fool would lose his life. Being first is the goal and the purpose of life. How else will people know how significant I am? Punish your enemies. Teach them what is right. That's the only way to treat them. How else will they learn? Servants? Oh yeah, that's what we pay for. Those are the people who work for us, who do what we don't want to do. We break our backs to get to the place where we don't have to serve, but get to be served. Come on, Jesus. How else are we supposed to show others how important we are? And that we've actually done something significant with our lives. Yes, God's kingdom. It is so mind-blowing and so foreign to us that we hardly ever talk about it. It's upside down to the way life is lived here. It might sound cool to talk about on Sunday morning, but it just doesn't work on Monday morning. Yet, it is the thing our Master spoke about more than anything else. He refers to it in his teaching, his parables, his eschatology, his discipleship, his motivation, etc. He says, the kingdom of God is like a hidden treasure, a sower sowing seed in his field, a mustard seed, a pearl of great price. He even tells us about people who have discovered it and gone and sold everything to buy it. Does this mean that you can actually purchase the kingdom of God? No. It means that it is worth everything that you have. It's impossible to discuss everything about the kingdom. Jesus actually says, seek the kingdom first, foremost, above anything and everything else. And everything else will be added to it. We know this. We even pray it. Now, can I ask you to join me in that prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. According to Jesus, the kingdom is worth seeking. And when you and I have found it, we'll be so enamored by it, we'll give everything we have for it. I was just in Germany a couple weeks ago with George and Hannah and Matt and Martha. And we saw Sophia. And I had the opportunity to attend a church service where 30% of the congregation is made up of refugees from Afghanistan. These were former Muslims who have come to faith in Jesus. Now, Amy and I have been praying for Afghanistan for over 20 years. So to see these believers was an incredible gift to me. God's kingdom has come, and they are forever changed because of it. They sing praise songs to Jesus. They take the Eucharist just like we do. It's amazing to me. A country with 40,000 mosques and zero churches. But again, why does Jesus give us a new command? Why is it love? It's love because love is who he is and what the kingdom is all about. He is giving us a clue to where real life is found and lived, not this pseudo life that demands our all and gives nothing back. Not only that, but he models to us the kind of love he's talking about. It is self-giving love. He gives his disciples, you and I, a new commandment to love one another. As he loves us, just before he gives his body to be crushed, his soul to be mocked, and his spirit to be separated from the one who means more to him than anything else. Why would he do that? Because this love, this self-giving love, is the essence of real life. The kingdom life. Now compare that to our kind of love. We love others so that they'll love us back. We love to gain approval. We love because we feel good about doing it. We love the important people in the world so that we can get ahead. Heck, we even love our ice cream, hamburgers, a good wine, people who think like us and appreciate us, even our pets. Anything that makes me feel good. So the love that we know is self-serving, not sacrificial. Jesus is telling and showing us that real love is laying our life down. As we examine Jesus' words, he refers to glorifying the Father and the Father glorifying the Son. The relationship they share with one another is necessary for us to understand if we're going to understand this new commandment. Jesus describes over and over the way he and his Father relate to one another. And if you haven't done it, I really encourage you to do a Bible study on that. We've been told over and over and over and over and over and over that Jesus died because he loved us. My question is, why does he love us? I believe Scripture teaches us that his motivation was centered around his Father and the relationship that he shared with his Father. His motivation was to glorify his Father. He tells us that he only does what he sees the Father doing. He only says what he hears the Father saying. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That he and his Father are one. You and I are not the center of Jesus' life. I'm sorry to tell you that. His Father is. His Father is everything. And everything comes from the Father and returns back to the Father. Jesus was and is motivated to serve and love and sacrifice because his Father captured his entire heart, mind, soul, and being. And because of that, he was willing to do God's will above his own. He gave his life for his Father, to give back to his Father what his Father loved so deeply. What is it that the Father loves so deeply? The world that he created, and the people created in his image. Jesus loved the Father and gave his life as a ransom to buy us back and to present us as his gift to the Father. What kind of love is this? Self-giving love defines our God. He doesn't ask us to do something he doesn't do. He puts it on display for us so that we know what it looks like and what it will accomplish. The Father gave his Son, the Son gave himself, so that we and all of creation could be reunited with them and participate with them in this self-giving love. The Father and the Son invite us to share in the intimate, deep, passionate, powerful relationship that they have with one another. The Father and the Son invite us to share in the intimate, deep, passionate, powerful relationship that they have with one another. It's available to us. It's available to this world. And isn't that what we're all looking for? Again, what kind of love is this? What kind of relationship is this? What kind of God is this? Jesus tells us to love one another just as he loved us. And for love to be love and to reflect the kingdom, it has to be self-giving. It is never divorced from truth and always desires the best for the other person. Why? Because the truth is, self is a never satisfied master. It needs to be surrendered to God in order for life to work right. We're not intended to be the center of the universe. When we organize our lives around ourselves, we run against the grain of the kingdom. It's like sanding wood against the grain. It marks it and ruins it. We're made to belong to the kingdom of God. And his kingdom only has one king. Now, we all have stories of how self-giving love broke us or broke a relationship. But God's word is proven true in the outworkings of our lives. One of the deepest laws of the kingdom is whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will, for my sake, will find it. When we do as we like, we don't like what we do. When we have it our way, we don't like the way we have it. When we express ourselves, we don't like the self that we're expressing. What does this mean? It means that the harder we try to hold on to our lives, the more we experience the loss that accompanies our efforts. But as we give it away for God and His kingdom, the richer and more significant and deeper life becomes. We cannot do this or live this life apart from God. You can't simply try harder or sacrifice more to obtain it. This too is you and me centered and is dependent on us doing it. That's not the example of Jesus. His love was centered on the Father. It flowed from the Father and back to the Father. And He is our example. He needed God to do God's will, and so do we. That's the starting point. We first and foremost respond to God's love expressed to us through Jesus. God has initiated His love to us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You don't have to do anything to get God's attention or to earn His love. He's already given it, and He's proven it for you. He knows you, He loves you, and He is calling you to Himself. Do you hear Him calling? The currency of the kingdom is love. Now take stock for a minute. How much are you motivated for others? Do you want to see others succeed? Do you want to encourage and bless people? How much does love motivate you? Well, if you're like me, what if you look inside and you realize your balance isn't very high? It's quite low. Well, God is the source of that love. How much does He have? How can we get some of it? First, we just receive His love. The love He shares with Jesus. We respond to His love by welcoming Him into our lives. And as we get close to Him and ask for His love, He will give it generously, and it will fill you. Once we receive that love and give that love, amazing things happen. We enjoy doing it, and we want to do it again. When we think of others first, we lose thought of ourselves. When we put the desires of others in front of our own, we want to be an answer for others. When we give away a little, we get a lot back. When we give away a lot, we get even more in return. You can never give away more than you receive. The kingdom breaks forth when we love, and it becomes visible. And personally, I'm so hungry for this. I want to see it. And what if you're not feeling very loved today? Or that your heart isn't too concerned about others? Well, ask God to give you an opportunity to do something for somebody else, to help you love and serve them. And then you take a step of faith. Prefer somebody above yourself. He will meet you and provide you with the love that you need to do it. He wants to love you, and He wants to love through you. There's no reason to save it or lock it up in preparation for the future. Jesus just tells us to spend it. And we will never outspend God's resource. As we spend it, He deposits more back into us. Like Jesus, you and I need to be so enamored with the Father that we live out of that love in a way that His will is done, not ours. We need to know His love and experience it. Only God can accomplish that work in us, just like He accomplished it in Jesus. Lean into His love. Welcome Him. Surrender to Him. He will remake us. He will fill us with His love and pour it out through us. And then the world will know that we are His disciples. Let us pray. Father, thank You for Your word, that it is true. Thank You for calling us into Your kingdom, a kingdom that never, ever, ever, ever ends. Thank You for love, a love that gives, and the more it gives, the deeper and the stronger it grows. Thank you for not telling us about it, but showing it to us and freely giving it to us. Thank you that we can and are called to be an expression of that love to one another and to a broken, hurting world. Fill us and use us to see your kingdom come. Lord, make us an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Divine Master, grant that we may not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.